university officials who invited Ahmadinejad say it's about an exchange of ideas.
There's an educational benefit for the Colombian community to be able to have a firsthand acquaintance with them.
Not good enough, says Senator Hillary Clinton.
If I were a president of a university, I would not have invited him. He's a Holocaust denier. He's a supporter of terrorism.
Last year, Columbia invited Ahmadinejad to speak, but then withdrew the offer, citing security concerns. This time around, the university appears to be ready to open the floor to the Iranian leader.
What do you do when Iran's President Ahmadinejad asks to visit Ground Zero in New York during his visit here for the gathering at the UN next week? Well, if you're the NYPD and the Secret Service, who are, after all, responsible for the security of the man in the tan jacket while he's visiting, you consider it, and then you turn down the request, as they did late today. They cite his security and the fact that Iran is, as the U.S. said today, among the world's leading sponsors of terrorism.
As you all know, this year, an interesting and pleasant event occurred. The presence of Mr. Ahmadinejad at Columbia University, a university which is considered the center of liberal thinking and the center of the U.S., New York. I mean, its cultural and thinking center, because the United Nations is located in the city, a city that all Americans wish to see at least once. Why is it, do you think, that the president says he wants to meet and sympathize with the families of the 3,000 victims of the World Trade Center? It is because of a taboo that the Americans themselves have created. They are the ones responsible for September 11th, though they don't clearly say Iran is responsible. They say it is a result of thoughts similar to Iranian ideas, for example, the Taliban. Now the Iranian president wants to say, no, not only haven't we committed such an atrocity, we even condemn it, and would like to express our sympathy with the victims' families. This would be against their propaganda and the taboo they have created, because their aim through these 5 to 6 years has been to downgrade Muslims and all Islamic countries with such an accusation. The presence of Mr. Ahmadinejad would have put an end to all these accusations.
9/11 is a foundational event. 9/11 is what the neocons, those that have hijacked our government, build everything on. We got to attack Iran, 9/11. We got to attack Lebanon, 9/11. We got to invade Iraq, 9/11. We got to take your freedoms and take your property here in America. Americans are being abused because of 9/11. When the cops beat up a woman in the street, 9/11. Everything's 9/11, 9/11, 9/11, 9/11. And so this, they're using 9/11 that they orchestrated as a way to enslave us and enslave the world.
That they have taken our tragedy and they have made it into a political agenda that we did not agree with, and up to now we still don't agree with it. And you have noticed that this coalition of a few, it's just a group of governments that are doing everything possible to do the same thing. Every of this coalition of the few is having their own 9/11.
These new so-called security issues you mentioned have given you the right to turn a blind eye on all human rights issues. You maintain Guantanamo on the ground that those prisoners are a threat to America's interests and security. It is not a matter of Taliban or others for that matter anymore.
President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, who is arriving in New York on Sunday to address the UN's General Assembly, asked for permission to lay a wreath at the site of the 9/11 attacks. The request was denied due to security concerns and ongoing construction there. Ahmadinejad called the decision unfortunate. The U.S. ambassador to the UN countered, saying the U.S. would not support Iran's attempt to use the site for a photo op.
He's brilliant. He's a chess player. They invented the game of chess, but he's completely insane. Let me take Ground Zero for an example. Why did he want to go to Ground Zero? Because he believes that radical Islam did not attack the World Trade Towers. He actually believes the Jews did it.
Fox News has learned some U.S. investigators believe that there are Israelis again very much engaged in spying in and on the U.S., who may have known things they didn't tell us before September 11th. Fox News correspondent Carl Cameron has details in the first of a four-part series. What about this question of advanced knowledge of what was going to happen on 9/11? how clear are investigators that some Israeli agents may have known something?
Well, it's very explosive information, obviously, and there's a great deal of evidence that they say they have collected. None of it necessarily conclusive. It's more when they put it all together. A bigger question, they say, is how could they not have known? Almost a direct quote. Investigators within the DEA, INS, and FBI have all told Fox News that to pursue or even suggest Israeli spying through Converse is considered career suicide.
I'm very clear. I say if anyone gets killed, we're deeply affected. But this is a result of what? Regardless of how it happened, why has this occurred? This is the result of the management of some people over the world. It's not important if they're directly behind the events or not. The importance is that their management has led to such a disaster.
University officials who invited Ahmadinejad say it's about an exchange of ideas.
It's an educational benefit for the Columbia community to be able to have a firsthand acquaintance with the man.
But there are, of course, opposing views. Columbia University professor of Iranian studies Hamid Dabashi says the Iranian president has nothing new to say.
As a statesman, as a seasoned revolutionary, as a seasoned politician in the Islamic Republic, he's a child of the Islamic Revolution.
Not good enough, says Senator Hillary Clinton.
If I were a president of a university, I would not have invited him. He's a Holocaust denier. He's a supporter of terrorism.
Last year, Columbia invited Ahmadinejad to speak, but then withdrew the offer, citing security concerns. This time around, the university appears to be ready to open the floor to the Iranian leader. Jim Acosta, CNN, New York.
I'm talking about Ahmadinejad now. I'm not talking about our president. I'm not talking about our president. Today, Ahmadinejad is here. That's why some of us are here. You want to protest against Bush? Fine. I don't know why the left isn't protesting against Ahmadinejad.
Okay. Okay, Bob, why? What brings you here?
Well, I'm actually a Columbia alumnus. I live in Seattle now, but I'm from this area. I work on behalf of Israel, trying to, you know, counter the lies that are told about Israel. And this is a major event, and I'm here, so I want to at least come and at least, you know, show my support for Israel and my, you know, disgust that, you know, Columbia is hosting this man.
Jacob Kriegel, you're an undergrad, and you're president of Lion Pack at Columbia University. What is Lion Pack?
Lion Pack is Columbia's pro-Israel, pro-peace advocacy group. We think it was a big mistake for the administration to invite him. That being said, we do think that he should be given a voice now that he has been invited, but I think the mistake was already made in inviting him and giving him the legitimacy of our platform.
I'm outraged by the invitation to the leader of Iran. I care deeply about First Amendment rights, deeply. But one First Amendment means you have the right to invite in the arch terrorists of the world. It doesn't mean that you're obligated to do so.
Dear friends, behind us is the United Nations, a building founded on the promise of never again. And today, we call on the United Nations to live up to that promise, not for the past, but for the future. We call on the United Nations to lock its doors to Ahmadinejad with a sign saying, "You have no place here among free nations." Iran is not only a threat to Israel, and not only a threat to its neighbors, but a threat to the entire world. And today we ask, where is the world? Where are its values? Why does it hesitate?
Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad won't necessarily be getting the red carpet treatment when he speaks at Columbia University later on today, but he will be allowed to speak, regardless of the tough questions he'll face. Some say that he shouldn't be heard from, period.
I call on New Yorkers to make the life of Ahmadinejad, as he is in New York, miserable. make his life miserable.
Some very passionate arguments there today. Joining me now is the Dean of Columbia University School of International and Public Affairs, John Coatsworth. He's live on the Columbia campus here in New York. Mr. Coatsworth, thanks for being with us this morning. Opening question.
Good morning.
Here's a leader who's advocated the destruction of Israel, denied the Holocaust, and is accused by our government, the United States government, of supplying both fighters and equipment to insurgents in Iraq to kill U.S. troops. Why would you ever want him on your campus?
Well, precisely because he's the leader of an important country and one that our country is going to have to deal with in the future. Iran is infinitely more powerful today than it was just 3 years ago. In the future, Iran is going to be hold the key to peace in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. We have to be able to deal with and negotiate with leaders like this, however much we may disagree with their views. Like it or not, he's an important guy.
The question that some people are raising is, what are you going to hear from him, and will he be straight with you as you seek to challenge him? Here's what Newt Gingrich said about that yesterday. Take a quick listen.
He is a pathological liar. He is a very effective public speaker. And I think that Columbia University is being very foolish to allow that kind of person to have a venue like an American university.
So Newt Gingrich's concern, and it's a concern shared by other people, is that you're not going to get straight answers from this guy. He's a spinmeister. He's a propagandist. How will your students be able to challenge him in a way that they'll be able to cut through?
Well, look, we're going to ask him tough questions. If he gives us terrible answers, that will be known by not only the faculty and students of the university, but by everyone in the world. He's on TV when he speaks at Columbia. The Voice of America will broadcast his speech, but also the questions and his answers throughout Iran. The people of the world will know if he's giving answers differently today than he has given in the past.
Right. There was opposition to his appearance today on both sides of the political aisle. We just heard from Newt Gingrich. Here's what Senator Chuck Schumer of New York had to say about it. Quote, free speech means that you shouldn't silence anyone, but it doesn't mean you need to invite everyone to come to speak. I wish they hadn't invited Ahmadinejad. The concern appears to be giving a platform to a leader in this country when the United States government has real problems with him. Aren't you afraid that you're going to be used in a way here?
No, Ahmadinejad is a world leader of consequence. He has a platform whenever he wishes to have one. What he doesn't have is a classroom, and that's what we're offering him, an opportunity not only to present his views, but to defend them in the face of challenges and tough questions.
Yeah. Also, you said when you were asked about this a couple of days ago, quote, if he, Hitler, were willing to engage in debate and a discussion to be challenged by Columbia students and faculty, we would certainly invite him. When it comes to inviting world leaders for this program that you've had going for a few years now, where do you draw the line? Is there anyone that you wouldn't invite? I mean, would you really have invited Hitler?
Look, if Hitler had come to Columbia University in 1939, I would have been outside with the peaceful protesters. Or if I'd been dean, I would have been inside presenting him to our students to be challenged. You can't choose your role in life. You can only choose the principles you have to live by.
Right.
And in this case, we're providing not a platform, but a classroom. And we're going to challenge this guy as he has not been challenged in other places.
John Coatsworth, Dean of the School of International and Public Affairs, thanks for being with us today. We're going to be tuning in live this afternoon. We'll see how this whole thing turns out. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Look forward to it.
All right. We want to know what you think, too. Should Iran's president be allowed to speak at Columbia University? Go to our webpage and cast your vote. It's all there at CNN.com/AM. Right now, 72% of people say yes, he should be allowed to speak. 28% say no.
We entered the hall together and found it to be an ordinary environment. Like the students in our university when they await a speech. But as we entered, we noticed there was something missing, a lack of spirit. One came to have the feeling that something was about to happen. They were all sitting quietly, listening and ready, as if they were anticipating something. There was complete silence in the hall. We knew something was going to occur.
There aren't that many events, that you find the Americans invest in so much, that if CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, and several national and international networks cover and even broadcast some European channels that want to run the program live. They had invited someone who they had ruined his image in the media through propaganda on international issues, for instance, the Holocaust, gas chambers, nuclear energy, human rights. So they assumed everything was ready for a victory.
Fourth, to be clear on another matter, this event has nothing whatsoever to do with any rights of the speaker, but only with our rights to listen and speak. We do it for ourselves. We do it in the great tradition of openness that has defined this nation for many decades now. We need to understand the world we live in, neither neglecting its glories nor shrinking from its threats and dangers. It is inconsistent with the idea that one should know thine enemies. I'm sorry, it is consistent with the idea that one should know thine enemies, to have the intellectual and emotional courage to confront the mind of evil and to prepare ourselves to act with the right temperament.
The president of the university, Lee Bollinger, says is going to happen. He contends that he will be leading the questioning and that he's not going to make it easy for President Ahmadinejad.
Let's then be clear at the beginning. Mr. President, you exhibit all the signs of a petty and cruel dictator. And so I ask you, why have women, members of the Baha'i faith, homosexuals, and so many of our academic colleagues become targets of persecution in your country? The denial of the Holocaust. In a December 2005 state television broadcast, you described the Holocaust as a fabricated legend. 1 year later, you held a two-day conference of Holocaust deniers. For the illiterate and ignorant, this is dangerous propaganda. When you come to a place like this, this makes you quite simply ridiculous. You are either brazenly provocative or astonishingly uneducated. You should know, please, you should know that Columbia is the world center of Jewish studies.
The more the tone of the university professor rose, the more media coverage it got, and networks that weren't showing the event started to do so. The moment he started the insults, the audience applauded. Some out of grudge and awareness, and others which weren't really aware of what was going on, under the influence of propaganda. But as he continued with the insults, the number of people applauding lessened.
I only wish I could do better. Thank you.
I told the university president who was sitting beside me, he's making a mistake. I said that and turned to my God and said,
You're the God and helper. I know you want to slap him in the face.
I really didn't know whether Mr. Ahmadinejad understood his speech or not, because he was speaking fluent English, and I couldn't see if Mr. Ahmadinejad had an earphone. I zoomed my camera on the president to see if he did have an earphone, and the wire went to the door behind him, which wasn't visible. Actually, I realized that he was listening to the speech very carefully, so I noticed that he was completely aware of what was going on and would react in an appropriate time.
Many even handed notes to the president that he shouldn't read the speech he had prepared and that he must reply to the insults and accusations that had been made. But the president went on with his own plan.
In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful, Mr. President, dear scholars, professors, and students, I should first say hello and thank God Almighty for granting me the opportunity to be in such a scientific environment among seekers of truth and researchers in the field of science. I initially have a complaint to make against the person who read this political declaration against me. In Iran, when we invite someone to make a speech, we have confidence in our professors and students. We assume they know enough to tell right from wrong. Therefore, we don't see any need in addressing the audience with a series of objections in order to vaccinate our students and professors. I think the speech this kind man read was more an insult to the knowledge and freedom of the present audience than me. They had thought of everything except that God Almighty wanted to do what some of your professors pointed out, meaning God painted a picture, a simple one, which could be understood by everyone. A part of it was Iran and the other some American state officials. He painted the extreme thought, belief, and wish. Being a university professor is my main occupation. Even today, that such a significant responsibility is handed over to me, my master's and PhD classes are held every week, and my students are doing scientific work and research. I'm from the university.
Well, I think Ahmadinejad got exactly what he wanted out of this appearance, which was the legitimacy of speaking at a major American university, getting enormous media coverage. He said the usual range of outrageous things, but I think it's not likely that really is what comes out of this. What comes out of it is that he has spoken in a forum that no American will ever get in Iran, and I think that's really a sad commentary.
The next day, MSNBC was running a program related to the event. A woman called and said, "A president, the Iranian president's come to a country that according to you is his biggest enemy, and in an academic environment where dialogue is supposed to take place and so on and so forth. He attends, listens and speaks, regardless of who's to be victorious. Whose logic is superior, his or our president, George W. Bush's, who just goes to military bases and makes speeches for some soldiers that just stand like statues and are obliged to applaud him?"
In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful.
To make the life of Ahmadinejad, as he is in New York, miserable.
We've come to ask, we've come to praise and to thank him for his understanding, for his kindness.
The president exhibit all the signs of any cruelty.
We call on the United Nations to lock its doors to Ahmadinejad.
I think that's really a sad commentary.
Why did he want to go to ground zero? He actually believes the Jews did it.
We got to attack Iran, 9/11. We got to attack Lebanon, 9/11. We got to invade Iraq, 9/11. We got to take your freedoms and take your property here in America.
Why is the term of Islamo-fascism appropriate?